الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة
تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به نتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah for guidance, and we ask Allah for mercy, and we ask Allah for goodness. And we ask Allah to make us firm in faith. To not make us shaky. You know, a person can become shaky in their faith. They can become shaky in their faith. And there's different types of, there are different types of manifestations of shakiness in faith. And shakiness in faith is a serious problem. It's a civilizational problem. It means that you're not firm in what you believe. And it means not only are you not firm in what you believe, but when people aren't firm in what they believe, they aren't firm in their actions. Meaning that I'm going between this and this. One day I'm thinking this thing, the other day I'm thinking this thing. One day I say I believe that, the next day I say I believe that. One day I say I believe that, but then if I'm confronted with it, I don't really believe that. I'm just saying that I believe it, but I really don't believe it in my heart. These are all manifestations of diseases of the heart that affects your iman. The thing about Islam is that what a Muslim strives for is to have faith, to have iman. And you want your iman to be firm. And you want to be your position on Sirat al-Mustaqim to be firm. Now, having firm iman does not mean that you are perfect. The person has firm iman doesn't mean I'm a perfect Muslim. No. But it does mean that you are clear about what it is you're supposed to do. So when you do fall short, you're striving for that. Now, one of the diseases of the last days that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam warned us about is people being shaky in their faith. And he asked one of the companions, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, when he was questioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith, the sound hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that begins with Kana an-nasu yas'aluna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an al-khair wa kuntu as'aluhu an al-shar wa khafatan an aqa'a fi al-kamaqala. He said that the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the good things, but I would ask them about the bad things so that I won't fall into it. And so the question and answering went back and forth between Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it got to the end of the hadith when they was discussing about the times of the last days, you know, where there will be a lot of fitin, people will be in doubt, a lot of trials, tribulation. It's not clear about the good and the bad to people anymore like it is now. So Hudhayfa questioned the Prophet ﷺ about the presence of Muslims, because presumably if there are people of guidance, this is the presumable, this is the assumption, that if there are Muslims present in a situation, that it's not going to deteriorate. For example, I'll give you an example. Say if there was a, we're here at the masjid, right? And two naked women start dancing in the parking lot. Or scantily clothed women turn on some music and they bumping and grinding, right? It's presumable that since we're here, we're Muslims, somebody from amongst us is going to say, hold, excuse me, you can't do that. No, you can't do that here. Or if we saw somebody fighting, or if we saw some transgression, if we saw somebody stealing out of the zakat box, presumably we're going to say something, because this is the assumption. The assumption is that if there is a Muslim present, if Islam is present, that there is going to be a certain amount of moral stability present at the same time. This is why it's presumable that if Muslims are fighting each other in different countries openly, la ilaha illallah on your side, la ilaha illallah on your side, but you're engaged in warfare, well, if there's Muslims present, other Muslims, it's presumably that we're going to say, excuse me, you can't do that. We have to step in and stop that. Like Allah says, we're in ta'ifatani, minal mu'minin naqtatilu. We know that verse, if two groups of the Muslims fight, faslihu baynahuma, make peace between them. So, Hudhayfa asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, he said, so when all this stuff is going on, is it going to be because there's no Muslims? Like, where the Muslims going to be? So he said, I'm in qillatin, Ya Rasulullah. Is it because there are Muslims around? Like, what's up? How is going to be all this fitna going on the earth, Ya Rasulullah? How all this stuff going to be going on in a bunch of Muslims? And the Prophet alayhi wasallam said, La, hum yawma idhin kathirun. He says, on that day there'll be a lot of Muslims. He says, but they'll be like ghutha'u sail. They'll be like ghutha'u sail. They'll be like the suds on the oceans. There'll be no substance to the Muslims. The numbers will be there, but there's no substance. The belief is shaky. There's no movement. See, this is the paradox of modern Muslim civilization. This is the paradox. Because it's presumably that if there are Muslims present and they have the Quran and we follow, we have guidance and we have the Prophet and we have all this and this and that and that and that, and that, that there would be some sort of regulation in things, but there's not. And largely people are silent when it comes to wrongdoing. And that begins, of course, with the family. One of the kaba'ir, the major sins of Islam, is what's called ad-duyuf. It's called ad-duyuf. Ibn Kathir mentions this very close, I think it's number 19 or 20, in his book called Kitab al-Kaba'ir, the book of major sins. What is ad-duyuf? The youth is someone who allows corruption to go on under his roof. That's what it is. Because if you're a Muslim and you have authority, well, there's a sacred contract between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Allah, listen, while I'm on my watch, you know, just I can't just sign off on anything. Now, of course, the shaitan of the 21st century, it's the same shaitan from before, but it's just, he learns and he becomes advanced. We get technology, shaitan get technology. No, he acquires the same type of technology we get and he uses. Whatever comes on the earth, Allah's given him reign to use it. So the emphasis now is for the Muslim, well, not just Muslim humanity in general, but I'm just talking about Muslims today, is to have no value system. To have no value system. I'm not saying to have a little value, no. To have no value system. That you have no core moral value. Meaning that anything goes. As long as it's feasible, as long as it's not causing too much problems, as long as it's not too expensive, as long as it may be even cost effective, it goes. But it's not the moral judgment. We have no moral judgment. This is why Muslims can have girlfriends and boyfriends. And I mean, you even turn on Leave It to Beaver 30, 40 years ago, even an old time regular American cinema, that was looked down upon to have children out of wedlock. But now it's not even, it's nothing. We don't even stop for a moment when a woman has a child out of wedlock. We'll say, mashallah, when's that, you know, when's the baby shower? And when's the akika? Yeah. We don't stop for a moment when one of our children have babies out of wedlock. It's nothing. This is part of the disease. It's called wahn. It's called wahn. The Prophet described the Muslims as, he says, وَهُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءُ السَّيْلِ. That is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, but the Muslims will be like the suds on the oceans. What he meant is that when you see the wave come in, you ever see a wave where they go surfing and stuff like that, and the wave is coming in, and you see the wave coming to the shore, and it's a big wave, and it's all kind of suds. The suds, they come with the big wave, that's called غُثَاء. But once it reaches the shore, so you see the wave is a big wave. But once the wave reaches to the shore, what happens? It's just trickle of water coming up on the beach. When the surfer gets finished surfing, yeah. When he finally gets done, it's just a little bit of water coming up on the beach. All the suds have dissipated. A lot of bark and no bite. So last week we were talking about the men. Men who suffer from that disease. The disease of wahan. I mean that you're not firm in your faith. You're not firm in what you stand for. You're not firm. You don't keep your word. You don't honor your contracts. You don't fulfill your responsibility, especially with your family. You have sex outside of marriage. You're openly engaged. You openly proclaim, I'm a fornicator. Now people can say, Imam, you're being kind of hard. And I would just say, I don't care. Because I really don't. I honestly don't. I know what time we're living in. I know we're living in the last times. I know that we're living in the time where people are being encouraged not to have foundation in their life. Not to teach your children foundation. Not to have values. Not to have right and wrong. That everything is okay. And then, here's one of the tricks of the shaitan too. That he gets you to do a sin. Because none of us are free of sin. So, now what they say is, well, nobody can judge. Only Allah can judge me. Yes, that's true. Only Allah can judge you on the hereafter. But we're commanded to have discernment and judgment in the dunya as Muslims. So many cases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to have judgment. أَفُحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيْتِ يَبْقُونَ فَمَنْ أَحْسَمُ اللَّهِ حَكَمَ لِكَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And so many other verses, we're commanded to have discernment. As a Muslim, I'm supposed to know, this is right, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. No, this is mahrur. This is dangerous. No, I can't. No, you can't do it. No, you can't. Not whatever goes. So yesterday, last week, I got up on the brothers. And I want to warn you all about this disease of wahan. A Muslim is supposed to know his position. This is what I believe. This is what I stand for. This is what I promote. This is how I live. This is how I try to live. This is what I strive for. Now, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Brother, you think we should say something to the brother beating on his wife? I don't know. That's not how we're supposed to be. Allah says, مَذَبْدَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَهَا أُولَئِ وَلَا إِلَهَا أُولَى. مَذَبْدَبِينَ means that you're oscillating between two positions. You're not really on this side, or you're not really on this side. He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أولئك هم الصادقون. He says, really, those people who truly believe are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُ. Then they don't doubt. Because doubt is a type of kufr. Doubt is a type of disbelief. I hate to say it, it is. If something is clear in our scripture, is clear in our revealed book, is clear on the lips of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then we have to take it, this is clarity. Whether we understand it or not, we may not understand. I may not understand what Allah is actually saying, meaning in this verse, but I have to ascertain that it is haq from my Lord. And if it's something clear, I have to live for it. Even if it's my own self. Like even in the case of Habib al-Najjar. In Surah Yasin. After he started telling the people, Ya qawmi ittabi' al-mursaleen, ittabi'u man la yas'alukum ajran, fahum muhtadun. He says, oh my people, follow the mursaleen, follow these messengers, follow these people who are not asking you for any financial gain, and they are rightly guided. But then he said, wa ma liya alla a'budu alladhi fatharni wa ilayhi turja'un. Once he broke it down, then he said, and what about me? If I don't worship the one who has created me and the one that everyone, you all shall return to. Meaning he said, listen, I'm going to tell y'all what y'all supposed to do. I'm not going to forget myself. Because it goes for us. It goes both ways in the area of da'wah and nasiha. Allah says, Atamuru nasa bil birri wa tansawna anfusakum wa antum ta'lulu al-kitab afla ta'qilun. Also, do command the people to be righteous and forget yourselves while you're reading the book. Do not understand. So it's a double-edged sword, meaning that, you know, just because I may commit a sin myself doesn't mean that I'm not going to still promote people not doing sin. But it's better if I address myself. That's true. We get that. But you don't want to be a shaky Muslim in this time. I'm going to tell you why you don't want to be shaky Muslim. A lot of reasons. I'm going to tell you the main reason. Shakiness in doubt is very close to kufr. I don't care how you slice it. There's nothing that any of us can do to make shakiness in faith and doubt and irtab and shek and raib and rain and murd. All these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. Nifaq. These are all different things that Allah speaks about in His kitab, and in each case He likens it to disbelief or being like disbelief or being disbelief itself. Each case. Nifaq talks about nifaq, hypocrisy. He talks about kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Rain, rust. He says, nay, their hearts has rusted because of what they have done. He says, da'ahum fi raybihim yataraddadun. Leave them alone in their doubt, going back and forth. And he's talking about the kuffar there, clearly. So everything that Allah talks about when He speaks about the doubt, when He speaks about shakiness in your aqidah, in your iman, what you believe, going back and forth, He likens it all to disbelief. That's one of the dangers. The second danger is that this is one of the major paths of Iblis in the 20th century. It's a major path. Because sin in Aqidah is a lot easier to get someone to engage in than actual sin. Just like the homosexuality debate. Most men aren't going to, you know, some men are homosexual. That's what they are. May Allah guide them. Homosexuality is a major sin. A major sin. If they think it's valid, if they think it's permissible, then they are an unbeliever. I don't care if their name is Muhammad, Ibrahim, Musa. I don't care what their name is. If you practice the practice of the people of Lot, and you believe in that, you are an unbeliever. Period. But what Shaitan wants you to do is not so much do it, just like gambling. Muslims who gamble, Muslims who sell lottery tickets, Muslims who sell alcohol, Muslims who could, he don't want, if he can get you to do it, that's fine. That's fine with him, because you still get the sin. If he can get you to do it and think it's okay for you to do it, that's fine with him too. If he can get you to do it and think you can do these things after bayan, after clarity from kitab and the sunnah, and yes, I know people think that is a extreme view, although righteousness is considered to be extremism today. That's why if a person even says that they don't want their son and daughter to walk into a bathroom where you have same sexual, you got 9 and 10 year olds in California getting sex change operations, taking hormones, and they want to have same sex bathroom. Y'all heard about that? So if you don't want your kid to go into an, oh, you're extreme. What are you doing? You're limiting your freedom. Yeah. So righteousness is going to be considered to be extreme. Shaitan wants you to think it's extreme. He wants you to think that if you go home and you teach your family right, you teach your children right, you teach your wife right, you go home and you question your wife about hijab, you question her about excess makeup, you start questioning her about her prayers. She wants you to think, oh, that's extreme, brother. That's, yeah, you know, I can't, I don't want to be hard. And the fire is prepared for people like that. But the true danger of shakiness is when a person may not do an act, but he believes in it. He believes it's lawful. It's like, okay, I don't drink alcohol. But ain't nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. Even though Allah says, in al khamri wal maisir wa ansab al Allah rijsun min amal al shaytani fajtanibuhu. Even he says it's rijsun min amal al shaytan. It is a uncleanliness from the action of the devil. But if you say you accept it, fine. If you say you accept homosexuality, that is enough for you to be an unbeliever. So when a lot of Muslims are believing in a lot of things that constitute unbelief, they have no choice except to become wahiya, shaky. That's how he effectuates the shakiness in faith. Now we don't have much time left, but I wanted to mention briefly what I wanted this khutbah to be about, which was about the women who mistreat their husbands. Because last week we got on the brothers. Brothers who do this, brothers who do that, brothers who do that, brothers who do that. And we rightly should. But I don't want to be unfair to the sisters. We all deserve nasiha. And we have really adequate... Listen, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The woman, period, the woman has changed in the last, more in the last 60, 70 years. I'm not talking about Muslim women, I'm talking about women, period. Women have changed more in the last 50, 60 years than they have during the previous 7,000 years of human existence on the planet Earth. They've changed. Not their nature. The nature is still the same. But what women, people teach women to be different ways, and you know, women becoming like men, and you know, you have women say, I don't need no man, and women, it's common for women to have a baby. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to get married. I'm just going to just get somebody to impregnate me. That's how much I believe I don't need a man, but I just want to be with race. There's a whole idea. We have abusive men And we have abusive women now too. It's almost as common for a man, for his wife to verbally abuse him or to physically abuse him. It used to be men sneaking and creeping with the girls on the side. Now it's women sneaking and creeping with the boys on the side. You have some women who, Muslim women, I don't know who. I mean, it's just not about exposing anybody. If it fits you, it fits you. Some Muslim women, you're going to have a boyfriend while you're waiting to find the right Muslim man. But in the meantime, I got my man over here. Then when I find a brother, I'm online with the with my profile for the Muslim dude, but opening up my legs for the non-Muslim dude. But I want the Muslim dude to pay the dowry and the whole nine yards. Non-Muslim dude, I might be paying him. I notice how some of the sisters get down. And that's unfortunate. There's an ample amount of cheating. There's an ample amount of flirting going on by Muslim women. Some sisters, some of you sisters, you need to shut down your Facebook accounts point blank. Shut it down. Because you expose things to people who aren't even your husband, not even your mahram, even before some sisters, I'm just saying, you're reporting stuff on Facebook, what you're doing, even before your husband not even home. Yeah, I'm getting ready. I just made me this the dinner I made tonight. Everybody see on my Facebook. And I'm ready to put my baby to sleep right now and call so and so. So your husband is at work, and you are exposing the world to your home. That is haram. It produces a certain amount of attitude within the woman. You know, and listen, like Allah says in Quran, وَلَا يَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَثْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. And don't be deceitful in your speech, because lest that you encourage the one in whose heart is diseased, but always say a word that is right. وَقَرْنَا فِي بِيُوتِكُنَّ. And stay unto your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَجْنَا تَبَرُجَ جَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. And don't go out and exposing yourself like the first jahiliyyah, the way you used to expose yourselves. So women, you have to be careful too. Just like some men aren't fit for marriage, many women aren't fit for marriage either, brothers. And be careful when you choose women. Sisters, be careful when you choose men. Brothers, be careful when you choose. Start making choices about, you know, you want to get people of righteousness, people who share your values. Some of you brothers, you go out, I mean, I understand you want to get married. I understand, I get it. Alhamdulillah, blah, blah, mean. I understand if you're gripping too. I understand that. But you have to be careful in your choice of women. Sometimes you can take one off the street and you can, you know, sometimes. But that's rare, because you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Yeah, I said it. I said it, because you can't. It's very difficult. So a lot of brothers don't. A lot of brothers get caught up because you see the woman, she's fine, so-and-so, you know, she's running, she got the stuff. Hey, what's up? Oh, yeah, what, come on. You take her home, you try, I want you to fall off the tub sooner, and we married. Whatever you say, big daddy. No, and then you complain, hey, ma'am, she won't. Where'd you find her at? At the club. What do you expect? No, that's the reality, brothers. We all know. All women are righteous. All men are righteous. Righteousness just has started way before you met that woman. Women have problems with drugs and alcohol, just like men have problems with drugs and alcohol. Before, it was used to be the men dog and the women, but now it's very likely women gonna dog the man. Especially if you got some paper. No, you got some paper, she gonna dog you. Don't fall for that. Listen, we're human beings. The Prophet said, "Ma taraktu fitnatan ashadda ala rijali min an-nisa." I have not left a fitna that's harder on men than women. That's the fitna. Yes. Our wives and our children, they're fitna. Many brothers are afraid of going home and even telling your wife anything that has to do with what Allah says. I remember being out to dinner not that long ago. And it was a brother, he was an ex-Muslim. Got a lot of those, you know. Ex-Muslim, but his wife Christian, and he happens to be related to somebody in my family who's Muslim. So, okay, come on out. And we talking about, so I'm talking to the brother about religion, and you know, brother, well, you know, you can get back into Islam, you can get back in that, you know, alhamdulillah, inshallah, you know, take a shot over, because I see he wanting it. So he's trying to talk, he's talking about God, and he mentions, yeah, well, you know, because when Allah, and his wife was right there, she said, Allah. I swear by Allah, this happened. And he said, God, I said, man, boy. I said, is it like that now? Brothers, don't be afraid of your wives. Don't mistreat your wives. Be easy with your wife. But if you see your wife on a path, whether it's in her action or your daughters, whether it's in her actions, in her akidah, in the way she is, even in the way she's treating you, you have to say something if you love her. Because if you love your wife, you don't want to see her go to the hellfire. The Prophet, the last thing I want to say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he came out, and this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. He said, Ya ma'ashar al-nisa. He says, O group of women, tasaddaqna kathira, waqthirna al-istighfara, fa'inni ra'aytukunna akthar ahlan nar. He says, oh group of women, I'm telling you something. Give a lot of sadaqah. And ask for forgiveness often, because I have seen in my revelation that you will be the majority of the people of hellfire. And so one of the women stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, ma lana akthar ahlun nar. Oh, Messenger of Allah, what do you mean we're going to be the most of the people to hellfire? And he put it, and he cut it down. And women, this is my warning for you. Tukthirna la'ana wa takthirna al-ashir. He mentions two things. He says two things with the women that will cause you to go to the hellfire. One, excessive complaining. And two, is not recognizing the good of your husband. So brothers, if you're out there working hard and you're trying to provide for your family, you're trying to do this and that and that and that, you have every right to go home and regulate your household and your family and your wife and your kids and say, hey, turn that off right now because I want to talk to you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And listen, honey, I think you need to start making your prayers now. Don't wait till you're 40 because you might die because you're before you're 40. Don't be afraid of the women. This only happened in the last 50 years or so that men are taught to be afraid of their women. We always had women who get men who can get suckered by women. That go way back. Way back. But you shouldn't be afraid of your women. You have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqulu qawli hadha. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimina min kulli dhanbin wa astaghfirullah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه. Brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran, all you who believe, اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، وألف بين قلوبنا واجعل في قلوبنا الإيمان والحكمة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ونصلي ونبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر